Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we just heard from Paul Simmons, the chief financial officer of one of the largest hotel chains in the world, Marriott International. He looks after the Middle East and African region. He talked about how he made the run from a ground level accountant up into the corner office, into the boardroom as a CFO for a huge organization. I didn't know the Marriott was so big. They have over 600,000 staff. That is huge. That's three times bigger than a company like HSBC, which we all know is a behemoth as well. So he gave us some really good tips for managing your career in the corporate structure. Things like being focused, being persistent. He continued to chase his dream even though he failed his math course the first time he took it. The confidence and ability to speak up and say you want to be promoted and you want to get into certain roles. He took and chose mentors to help him along the way, and constantly was asking what does he need to do to develop himself in the way he wants to do that. So, you know, and following things with a passion, get out of your comfort zone. But if you missed any of that, you can go to our website at dubaieye1038.com/iOnCareers, and not just listen to Paul's success story, but hundreds of success stories that we've done on this show, CEOs, chairmen, CFOs, anybody who's really successful. We featured so many on the show. There's a blueprint, an easy way to get inspired. Now we have another interesting success story, a man who's weaved his career through shared services into CEO position. A guy who's made a jump very few people do, going from HR into the C-suite, an exciting path and lots of tricks and tips to be had here. This is the story of Suhail Bin Tarif, the chief executive officer of Tanfif. But before we start, let's hear a little bit more about his background.
Suhail Bin Tarif is the chief executive officer of Tanfif. In Arabic, that means getting the job done. Tanfif is a company helping other companies improve their business services like back office processes, better call centers, better customer relations, etc. Suhail previously spent 10 years in senior leadership positions at Emirates NBD. Suhail's last role at Emirates NBD was as general manager in the human resources department. He was one of the pioneers of the 2007 merger between Emirates Bank and the National Bank of Dubai to form Emirates NBD. He was part of a highly complex HR integration for over 8,000 employees and helped forge a uniform culture and set of values to support the new organization's capability to attract and develop exceptional talent. Suhail holds a Bachelor's of Business Administration from the American University of Dubai, an MBA from the International University in the UAE, and has completed an extensive range of leadership courses. In his free time, Suhail Bin Tarif is a passionate falcon breeder.
Well, welcome back to welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
I didn't know you were a falcon breeder.
Well, that's I would say a passion that keeps me busy and alive and sane.
This is like the symbol of the, you know, the successful Arab, you know, man with the falcon. It's such a symbol of this region as well.
It gives you a heritage, a past, and the future. If you don't have a past and a heritage, you wouldn't know what to do in the future.
I think that's interesting context that you're saying. You know, understanding your history, where you are, where you've come from. Does that give you strength? Is that one of the things that in your dark moments you draw on to pull through?
I would say yes. It's my foundation, and it keeps me stable. It keeps me alive, and if you look at Dubai and the UAE 20, 30 years ago, it was literally one road, which is Sheikh Zayed Road, and the beginning of Sheikh Zayed Road. There was nothing in Dubai itself. So, and how Dubai grew so fast, and we as nationals in the UAE itself worked hard, passionate, humble, I'd say, and hospitable. That's the traits of Dubai, and continuously improving and growing in the city is part of what we are.
Must be amazing to grow up here. I mean, as you said, when you were a child, was it one road when you were a child?
Yeah, I remember there were a few places. Jumeirah was one of them. Rashidiyya was one of them. Andera. So there are three or four places that Dubai are made of. So that's literally Dubai and the creek.
Wow. So and everybody knew each other. There was no locks on the doors.
Luckily, we still don't have locks.
We were just saying it's the safest city, one of the safest cities in the world.
But yes, we knew each other literally because it's a small city and everybody used to know each other. I would say I had a lot of friends. Until today, they are friends with me.
And does that inspire you? I mean, when you look at what the ruler has done and the growth of the city, I mean, does that transfer into your own life where, you know, it instills an extra dose of confidence? We're saying, look, if the other people can be doing all this, I'm going to do something great as well.
I would say, yes, we do. If you look at it, we look at the country itself and the UAE itself. It's an optimistic country that created a stamp in the world. And we do the same. We thrive on that. We thrive on performance. We thrive on success. And we believe in what we can do.
It's a very inspiring. It's a city where the impossible becomes possible every day.
I would say impossible is I am possible.
Is that's what it stands for?
I guess so.
Is that the slogan at Tanfif or is that the slogan for Suhail?
Tanfeed's slogan is doing things better every day. So yesterday is the past. Today is literally gone. So what can I do better next day and the day after it? How can I grow slowly and surely and reach my success? And I would say most of the people in Tanfeed think the same. I am possible.
So normally people, you know, well, not normally, but a lot of people, they have a vision of what they want to achieve. But your career path is very unique. As a child, did you want to be a CEO? Because you were gravitated into HR.
So if you look at it from an education perspective, I'm into sciences, more into analytics, numbers, and I liked people. So what the last semester in university was an elective for me, so I decided to do HR just for the fun of it, and I actually got a C in that program. But I loved what HR does. You know, I can see the success that HR can bring to the table if they become strategic. And I decided to take a career in HR. And I remember when I was interviewed that I decided to take HR, and the interviewers were asking me, why HR? Do you know what does reward do? I say, no, but I'll learn it. And I would say I had to learn it the hard way, and I learned it the hard way. But it paid off even today because I'm a CEO, and at the end of the day, it's people that make me successful. And HR is a solid, I would say, foundation for me to work with a team and work as a team.
And I think as a result, though, you're being a CEO who has exposure in HR, your company has won award after award for the advanced human resource department practices. You're really a benchmark in this field.
I would say, yes, we won it, not because we did a lot of stuff from the book. We actually tried to do things that suit this region, suit the organization, and suit the industry. And we were open about it. We were bold about it to try things that a lot of other organizations don't try in this region. And it's from recruiting, retaining, training, developing people. We invest a lot on training and development. And the most important thing, an element in Tanfeed, is the culture and how it works to our advantage. It's not something that you would come hang a coat that tells you this is your culture today, and when you go home, it's something else. It's actually how we live our culture within the organization is what makes us who we are, how transparent we are, how fun we are, how we enjoy ourselves on a day-to-day basis, how open we are with each other.
So just tell us how did you make the jump going from HR into a CEO position, and what was the emotional experience? Because I think our last guest was saying to be successful, you got to get out of your comfort zone, and you, I think, take that to the extreme.
This jump was scary, to be honest. I don't regret it. I was in the bank as one of the most powerful people in the organization, but I decided to follow my heart, follow something that I would create a culture that I would be proud of, create a team and an organization that I'll be proud of. I knew I had weaknesses. Two weaknesses were finance and operation. I didn't have both of them. So for me, jumping into that seat without those two, I knew I had to work fast and work hard to develop those two skills. And it took me time. For example, operation took me time. Till today, I'm learning operation. Finance was a little bit easier because I had to go for a few programs and courses and learn it from in class and then go implement what I learned in the work field. But till today, I'm learning operation, and till today, I am still learning finance.
And so when you take that jump, you take over the call center, and initially there was some bumpiness. As with any new job, there's going to be a few curveballs there. How did you respond to that? I mean, at a certain point, you're going from a comfort, as the head of HR, it's kind of hard to get fired because you're the one who does the firing most of the time. So, even in a downturn, the last person to get out, you're the head of HR can usually survive even the cost cutting, the worst situations. But in this situation, you're jumping into running a call center. If the call center doesn't work out, you're dead meat.
Especially the call center. If somebody is calling and nobody's picking up, it's the worst thing for any customer, or any company.
Unless you're calling Saudi Arabia, then no one's answering.
Well, you expect at least a minimum standard, and if nobody's, and I'll give you examples today where we have systems down. Systems do crash till today and tomorrow. They'll always crash. But we have figured ways to put messages and work around it. But the thing is, it's moving from HR to any other operation. At the end of the day, it's all about people. If you have the right people in the right positions and you empower them and you work with them and you show them the light, things would change to the better. In the beginning, I was in a sandstorm. Remember the sandstorm a week ago? Yeah. That was what I was in. And it took me around, at least per floor or per unit I take, at least 3 months in that sandstorm until I actually see light.
Right.
It's chaotic. I didn't know what I was doing. Am I doing the right thing or not? So I was trying a lot of few things. But after a while, when I started getting other units that I worked on, it became easier because now I had a system. In the beginning, I didn't have a process and a system put in place. So I knew there's a checklist that I need to go through. And believe it or not, it's all about transforming people's mindset.
This is Suhail Bin Taraf, the Chief Executive Officer of Tamfif. A very exciting career path. He's talking about the jump he made going from HR into running as a CEO, running a business. If you have any questions, you can SMS us at 4001. If you're Emirati or you're an Arab, you're going through some challenges in your career, this would be a great opportunity to ask any question you have. We'll tackle it live here at 4001 or to go to our website and download our mobile app at DubaiI1038.com. Coming up, we're going to be looking at some of his biggest challenges and business philosophies in just a minute, so stay with us.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Suhail Bin Taraf, the Chief Executive Officer of Tamfif, a man who really built Tamfif up from scratch and risked everything, his career, put everything on the line to rise up to the challenge. a challenge, he said, which was like running through a sandstorm. Suhail, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you. It was a sandstorm, and it's still a sandstorm sometimes. It goes and comes back, so it's not over yet.
But that's the excitement of doing business in the Middle East. There's always something new on the horizon to keep your eye on. Speaking of challenges, speaking of sandstorms in your business, what has been some of the biggest challenges you've had to face?
If I go... Early in my life, in my career, one of the biggest challenges is when Emirates Bank emerged with MBD. They were the two largest banks, more or less the largest banks in the UAE, and we were literally 200 meters away from each other. Literally, the two head offices.
They hated each other.
No, it's not.
You guys were at each other's. No, I just made that up to dramatize it.
It's competition, but you know, we're across the road. But when we actually started meeting each other, we realized that both banks had literally completely different cultures. And we knew that the challenge would be changing both cultures and having a new culture would be one of the most challenging tasks that we see, especially from an HR's perspective, because the first unit that needs to work would be HR and finance. But from looking at an HR perspective, you had literally two CEOs, two CFOs, two of everything. So how do you literally make it one with the least casualties in that merger? And we had a decree that nobody is going to lose his job. So one of the subjects conditions in the merger was nobody loses his job.
Yeah, but when you take a CFO and say, okay, you're going to be the controller now reporting to this CFO, that's...
Well, you see, if you look at it, it became from... If you hypothetically look at it, if it's 1 million, it became 2 million immediately. So the unit or the bank became double overnight, and people had to accept it. Some people did accept that choice, and people left by their own choice. It was very difficult. It was convincing people to what is new and what is coming, and we had to be clear in communication. We couldn't keep anything hidden. In every merger, there are a lot of turbulences, but how fast can you get out of that turbulence will make you a successful organization or not. That was the challenge for us. How can we make that culture, the new culture, sink in and move on and forget what was the past before a week? We were two banks. Today we are one bank. It's us versus them, or it's us together. So these are a lot of challenges that we faced. I would say the success of that is what you see in Emirates MBD today. It's one of the most successful organizations in the Middle East. Mm. And it's an experience that I wouldn't ever dream of getting again. And it's one experience that I'd say I honestly went through rough times, long nights, a lot of uncertainty, but it created character for the organization and for the people in the organization.
Well, I just have a question here. I have an individual's name, Suhail, and he's saying, I worked as a CSR professional in Pakistan, but here I'm a taxi driver at RAC. And I just want to tackle this for a minute, because I feel like sometimes people, you know, they have these huge challenges, but they give up and they say, oh, you know, now, you know, the market's against me and that's it. But, you know, what would your advice be to someone like this who may be feeling like they're stuck in a bit of a rut?
So, you know, if I decide to go to Abu Dhabi today, I will always face challenges. There's traffic. There's car accidents, there's radars, there's bridges.
There's no parking space.
There's no parking space. But at the end of the day, But at the end of the day, if I want to reach Abu Dhabi, I will reach Abu Dhabi. Even if it takes me half an hour longer or 2 hours longer, I will reach there. So all I'm saying is you have to focus on your goal. You have to be persistent. You want that. Don't give up. Yes, we have that turbulence in our life, and everybody has it, where he sees everything closed down on him. But you need to always see that light that you always believed in. And go follow your heart. You will find what you're looking for. Maybe not even going to a bank. Maybe going somewhere else. So don't keep yourself limited to one industry. But open up and accept a lot of other areas that you can grow in.
Yeah, and Sohail, if you're listening, I would say right now you have things like social media and you have the net that are a great equalizer. You know, there was a story about Stanford University. They put one professor said, I'm going to put everything of my stuff online. And at the end of the year, anyone can take the exam. This is a true story. He put his exam on. And when he woke up the next morning, you know, I guess he was figuring, okay, I'll see whatever my class and then maybe another 200% or something. He had 20,000 plus people took his exam. And then he said, okay, well, who scored the highest? Expecting, you know, one of his students would have been at the top or near the top. And I don't know if you've heard the story. Do you know who was the number one student?
No.
It was a 12-year-old girl from Pakistan who was studying through power breakages, everything, you know, like the struggle she went through to study, she became the number one. And then Bill Gates and I think a couple other heavyweights kind of fought over giving her a scholarship to the fact that they, you know, get this intellect when she graduates. But this is the world we live in. So Sohail, you can create thought leadership online. You can create papers and submit even to, you're accessible, right? Yes, Sohail, online, yes. On Twitter, or how would people reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. So right away, you can go on LinkedIn, you can send them a white paper, hey, here's three ideas about CSR and how it affects your company. So don't give up and push through and even go down. I don't know, do you ever have people just show up at the company and want to meet you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who come and meet me, and there's a lot of people who just come in and meet anybody in the organization. It doesn't have to be me. So if I'm available, I'm available. If somebody else, somebody would meet him.
And how does that perceive? A lot of candidates feel that it would work against them, you know, to kind of show that kind of drive. How do you, what's your reception to that kind of an approach?
We would take the majority of people and we would have open days and people would come. And actually we've hired a lot of people from open days who came a few times rather than one. First time they failed, second time they passed,
right.
Maybe third time. But they were persistent and we noticed that and we actually picked up a few of these people.
I think, if someone just comes and they don't know your company, they don't know your brand, they don't know your business, they don't know your background, especially now that, you know, it's fairly public now. We all know you're into falconry. We start to know things about you they should know. If they haven't done their research, then it goes against them. But I think if they're very well researched, switched on, then it definitely can go in their favor.
Well, today, most of the younger generation are actually more savvy than you think. Mm-hmm. They would know a lot of things about a lot of people. So I would hear about, for example, the story you just gave me, which blew me away. But there's a lot of people who would know it because they are linked to a lot of social media, which is a powerful engine today.
Right, right. So use those. Now, let's just go back. I just wanted to tackle this because, you know, I know that people out there, sometimes they feel helpless or they feel like their career can't go anywhere. But you have to believe that things will change and, you know, the world belongs to the optimist. So get out there, get in the driver's seat, make things happen. Going back to your merger, what were the difference between the two cultures? You know, here's two banks basically selling the exact same product and service, but completely different cultures. How would you compare and contrast those two? No comments?
I would say...
next question.
The perception to the market was a bit different. You know, if you look at both the banks... they look at the same customers but with different lens. So actually it benefited both of them if they had a different culture where they would look at the customer in a holistic manner. So we had We had a literally a checklist that we had to look at. What are the strengths of both of the banks? What do we want to keep? And what is things that we want to get rid of within the new organization? And I would say one of them was accessibility to the floors that both of the banks wanted so bad that that is one of the cultural elements that we had to work on. One of them was reducing the number of offices for managers and open space, which in the past both of the banks didn't have.
But did these banks ever really merge? Because even today when you go to this establishment, you still have people referring to, you know, I'm a National Bank, or I'm in the Emirates guy. You know, they're still referring to their two teams this many years after the merger.
I think it'll always keep, will always be there. And it's if you go back to what I was saying on Falcons, is a heritage that I have, and I still would always say Falcons and falconry in this region was a means of survival, and I'll always say it. Today it's a game, but it was a means of survival in the past. So I'll always have my past with me, and if I don't have my past, I wouldn't have my future, which is Emirates NBD. You know, if I don't have my past.
Right. So the Falcon was actually, you know, kind of a mandatory kind of piece of the toolkit.
Of course.
To survive out here. I thought it was more just for, you know, the higher echelons.
No,
it was
no.
Kind of like the Mercedes SLS Gullwing now. You know, no. It was the Falcon back then.
If you look at in the past, you didn't have guns. Yeah. If you had a Falcon, it's literally your gun. It'll catch a pigeon. It'll catch a rabbit that you can survive on. And the Falcon had a piece of that. But today it's a game of pride, and that it's moved on to. But in the past, you didn't have guns or bows and arrows, so you had the Falcon that will help you survive.
Amazing. This is Suhail bin Taref, the Chief Executive Officer of Tamfif, sharing his insights and lessons learned on the road to the top. Coming up, he's going to share some of his business North Stars and philosophy, so stay with us.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're talking to Suhail bin Taref, the Chief Executive Officer of Tamfif. Suhail, welcome back to Eye on Careers. We'll come back.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we've for those of you just joining us, we've been talking about some of the exciting moments in his career, namely when he was part of the merger of Emirates Bank and National Bank of Dubai, which is Emirates NBD now, and also then he started Tamfif. Moving from HR as a head of general manager of HR into a CEO position. So there was a lot of gaps there, which he had to close. Could have lost everything, but he pulled through. So what have, you know, been some of your key learnings, Suhail, as we go forward? I mean, what are some of the big business philosophies?
So one of them is motivation and engagement is... I'm a strong believer on this because if you have happy staff and engaged staff, they would perform at least 4 or 5 times an average staff. But how do you get to that, and how do you get to that belongingness rather than just happy staff? They spend most of their time in office. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of work. There's targets. There's a lot of things. But how do you set the tone so that people understand that this is their first home, because they spend most of their time at home or at office, so we call it home. So how can I make it feel like home? So one of them would be, you know, simple stuff. And this would be, you know, for us, we don't wear suits in Tamfif unless we're meeting a customer. So people are happy if they're wearing what they want. But we do have a dress code.
So what's the dress code?
So it shouldn't be prevailing, but you can wear anything, literally.
Could I wear a chicken suit? I could wear an animal, furry animal costume.
We do have that when we have our fun days. We have
A lot of fun.
Furry animal costume day?
Well, you have that. One of the guys was wearing the penguin costume and doing the penguin dance. So these
he wore a penguin costume?
And he was doing the penguin dance with the staff. So, and he was one of the staff. So we do fun stuff. We do a lot of fun stuff. We enjoy ourselves in Intonville itself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we're one family. We want to have fun, actually. And number two is the transparency, I would say, in the organization. If it's communicated, they will hear it from me. It'll go down, and they'll hear me speak about it. So it's not a message that'll just go around, and there's a grapevine and a lot of speculations around it. Number three would be, I would say, and I am a strong believer in rewarding the right performance. So rewarding for performance. And rewarding is not only money, but recognition, the reward behind it, giving a person a tap on the back and saying a thank you. Rather than a lot of organizations work here or in the world with fear. So we prevent moving from fear into actually recognizing and clapping for people. One of the things we worked on is our performance management system, and we created it here in Dubai, and we're proud of it. It's very transparent. You know what you need to achieve to get what you get. And this is not only financials, but we have a 20 to 30%, which is the health of the organization. And the health of the organization is based on the culture and our values and what do we believe in. And our values would be, and the strongest ones would be respect and integrity, that we work on our people. We work as a team, and we work on how we make people shine. My job is to make people shine and grow. I'm a strong believer of creating opportunities within the organization, for the organization, for the people who are in the organization. People might be transferred laterally or vertically, but they will grow eventually, because that's my role. My role is to grow my people.
And when you know, when you started in this business, you had what, a 45% turnover? So things weren't always as fun, as engaging as you're saying now.
Yes, it was. It was 45, and it's good to say that we are today. We're hovering at 15 to 16%, which is a great thing, because it shows that what we're doing is actually right. We're not a company for everybody. We work long hours. We stretch. We work 24/7. But we keep smiling. And one thing we have is we have a whiteboard that tells you what's your motivational rating today. And you have a smile, and you have a straight face, and you have a sad face. And this tool it helps us a lot, because if people are happy today, they will work harder. But if they have a straight face or a sad face, actually the line manager would understand that he wouldn't pressurize this person, because he's actually upset.
What, they have this on their desk, or what do they?
They have it on so we have a whiteboard that
with everybody's names on it, and we ask
who's unhappy today, and the person might raise his hand and say, "Listen, guys, I'm unhappy. I had a flat tire in the morning, and it's just upsetting me, and I cannot talk to people. So please, guys, stay away." So the manager would understand he will not pressurize him today. He will ease off from him. But if, let's say, for example, he's seriously sick and he's in office, the manager would have the right and he'd say, you know, it's better for you to go home. Right. So that the morale of all the team doesn't come down. So these are small elements, but they're actually big. The other one we do is, part of the fun committee is we have
a fun committee.
We have a fun committee on.
I don't think anybody has a fun committee. Is that you're like? I think I haven't heard of another company having a fun committee.
So we have a fun committee for every floor. We have six floors, so every floor has a fun committee, and these are volunteers. They come and they create themselves. I don't know how, because I don't ask questions. Yeah. They do what suits them. So the fun committee actually creates the fun in the floor. And some floors would have Thursday, you know, food day or food fest or whatever it is. So every week or every quarter or every month, they'll do something.
They have a plan and they just go ahead with it. What comes to me is the bills that I pay. That's all I know. So, and I, and if it's for the fund committee, I actually don't even look at the bill, because it's, I would say if you put it all together, it won't come to 1% of my my spend. So it's fine, you know, as long as there's a committee there and looking at it. The other thing is, by the end of the year, we usually do Make-A-Wish campaign. Make-A-Wish campaign is one of our successful campaigns where we have a voucher of between 200 to 500 dirhams per person. And you can make a wish. A wish could be, you know, I'm expecting a baby boy or baby girl, and I'd like to buy a stroller. Would you buy it for me? We'll actually gift wrap it and bring it to the office, and we'll give it to the person. So the HR team would go shopping by the end of the year or the beginning of the year, and they'll just shop for everything that they can shop for the team, for Make-A-Wish campaign. And they'll distribute gifts the first few months of the year. And we personally go and grant those wishes.
Wow. So a lot of things in terms of driving engagement, little things that I guess a lot of companies could learn from. I can't imagine like a bank having a you didn't have a fund committee in Prince NBD, did you, when you were in the bank?
Well, when I was in HR, you know, and you couldn't have that because you face customers, you have a lot of things to do, the corporate meetings, the corporate structure there. So it's a different atmosphere itself.
Yeah.
As here you have, my average age of the company is around 28.
Right.
And the new...
You can't really run through the trading floor at one of the banks in a penguin suit. Just not going to go over very well.
In the bank, yes, of course. But here, I would say the fun is part of what we are. And it is what makes us stand out and thrive for more. And you don't need to ask people to do more. They do it because they believe in this organization themselves.
So I think there's a lot of lessons learned there to drive the engagement. I mean, you've taken an action. I think they say, you know, in life sometimes you get the gift of desperation. And, you know, because your attrition rate was 45%, you've had to come up with all these great ideas to bring it down. I think if you would have been blessed with a lower attrition, you wouldn't have gotten to the engagement levels that you have now.
Honestly speaking, even if I'm at 5% of attrition, I'd still try and do things differently and be creative about it to achieve what we want to achieve at the end of the day. For me, most of the organizations in the world function on, you are a staff for this organization. What is the return on investment on this person? If I pay him a salary of X, I want Y out of him. But do I have that sympathy and empathy to this person if he's sick or if he's unhappy? Do I actually care about him, sincerely care about him? Do I touch his heart is the question to a lot of organizations. At the end of the day, these are not robots. These are human beings. And treating human beings as mature as you can, they would respect you. And they will actually jump in front of a sword if they're a samurai, you see.
Well, hopefully we don't need anyone to jump in to any swords. But coming up, Suhail's going to talk about what he looks for when he's hiring. If you have any question or you're struggling with your career or you want to become more successful, you have a question for us, SMS us at 4001. That's 4001. Or go to our website and download our mobile app. Again, coming up, Suhail's going to tell us what he looks for when he hires his top performers. So stay with us.
This is Eye on Careers, keeping an eye on your career.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're talking to Suhail Bintaraf, the Chief Executive Officer of Tamfif. Suhail, welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good, good.
So, you know, you've really made the jump and built Tamfif up from scratch. You've had to hire many, many, many people in order to do this. What do you look for when you're hiring your best people, and what do you feel the traits of a top performer are?
So number one is you'll make mistakes in hiring. So make sure that you don't regret. You have to have the best person, and you have to make sure that he's the right person, and it becomes too bureaucratic that you can't even hire a person at the end of the day. Number two is, what we look for is, the majority that we hire are fresh grads. So 95% of our hirings are fresh grads. 5% would be specialized units that we want to hire for. And why fresh grads? I believe that, number one, the younger generation learn faster than us. They already know more than us because of the social media. Number three, they are, if you look at the millennials, they are more open to change, and they wouldn't be your typical older generation that will always say yes and yes and yes. They'd actually say, excuse me, can you elaborate? What does that mean? If it doesn't sink in and it's not something logical to a person, they would say, sorry, I don't get it. I cannot do it. So be precise. What do you mean about it? So you have to have a case behind why do you want to do something different.
So you like to hire no men?
Yes, I do. And I do because honestly, I take positive criticism for change, and I would like to change and go forward rather than stay idle and someone else comes over and takes over my leading position in the market.
When you're looking for your senior people, though, not your fresh grads, your C-suite or your top 10 executives, what are some of the traits you look for when you're hiring?
So flexibility is one. Working without guidance is number two, because nothing is perfect. Your plan will not always be 100% perfect. I would say number three, they need to be people leaders and inspirational leaders that would work with teams, not individual contributors. And I would say they enjoy themselves. They are passionate of what they do. And I'd see if they fit the culture in the organization or not.
If they look good in a penguin suit.
Of course.
That's so. And now, what's been your growth like? I mean, you started from scratch. What's been the growth of Tanfeith?
I would say the numbers would talk about themselves. All numbers, and I'm not talking about financial numbers. We broke even the second year of operation, which is unbelievable. Number two is the attrition rate, which went down from 45% to 15% today. Your engagement levels shot up by 40-50%. You name it. Every analytical point from a human perspective, a cultural perspective, and financial is doing great.
When you move forward now, what would your advice be to anyone out there who wants to be more successful?
Number one, I always believe that you come in with a smile, come in passionate and believe in what you do, and enjoy what you do. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're in the wrong place, to be honest, number one. You have to follow your heart and be persistent. And I always say, you know, do not throw the towel, and this is a phrase in boxing, do not throw in the towel. Don't give up. If you give up, then you'll always learn how to give up. And it's a bad trait if you start giving up. You just follow your heart, work hard, and always see that sunshine at the end of that tunnel, because there is a sunshine, guys.
But sometimes that light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming at you.
Then you duck.
Make like a falcon and fly. At one hand, you're saying don't throw in the towel. So there's obviously moments in a career where you want to quit, where you want to give up, because it's not enjoyable. Because it's not something, you have to do something you're not passionate about. It's all the opposites of what you're saying. But you have to pull through those dark moments. So sometimes, you know, it's okay to be unpassionate about what you're doing.
So the only advice I tell you is look at your children if you have children. They fall and they break their legs. They have a scratch on their head. But they are so persistent that they'll go up back again and want to walk and want to run. And they wouldn't care about that hit or the sprain they had like 2 minutes ago. But they still love it, you know. But for us, because we've grown up, we started putting the risks higher than the I would say, the happiness in our lives. You think I'm not upset sometimes? I am sometimes upset. But at the end of the day, I step back one step, but I go three steps forward. I know sometimes this is hard. But you need to focus on what you want to do. You need to work hard for it. It's not easy. If it's easy, everybody would have reached where they want to reach.
Absolutely. I think we have a caller here. Hello, Amar.
Hello.
Hi, Amar. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Ion Careers. I understand you have sent over 100 CVs and you're not getting any answer.
Yeah.
And are you writing a generic cover letter on there that says, "Dear"? How what's your approach? Maybe before I make assumptions, why don't you tell me a little bit about your approach? How are you sending it? What are you sending it with?
Yeah, actually, I'm applying for call center in Tenfif for a long time. But
And Tenfif, you sent your CV 100 times to Tenfif.
Yeah, more than 100 times.
Okay.
But yet, I didn't get any answer. So one time I went for interview, I saw interviewer and asked me a lot of questions. I have answered all questions, but also they didn't select me. Yes, I want to know what is the eligibility criteria for selection.
Well, here's the CEO. He can talk to you directly.
Hello, Amar.
Hello,
Mr. Have you been called for an interview?
No, actually, I have been called for an interview, but I went for open interview.
Yes.
So, I met the interviewer and asked me a lot of questions. I answered all questions he asked me.
So,
but at the end of the day, he didn't select me.
Okay, so you went through the selection program, but you have not been selected, correct?
Hello, Suhail?
Amar?
Sorry, Amar. Sorry. Amar, are you there? Amar? Oh, I don't know what happened. Looks like we lost him, unfortunately.
So, okay. Apparently he's gone through the interview and he's not been selected. I'll take the number from you and I'll check why he's not been selected, and somebody would give him feedback, and maybe he would go through another assessment in the future and he would pass, because we had a few people who didn't pass in the first time and they were persistent and they actually passed.
So he's got the drive, he's got the tenacity, yeah. He's not missing this opportunity to chase you down, so I got to give him kudos for that.
Definitely, and that's what we are looking for. We're looking at persistent people who want to find their career, and at the same time, we will not select everybody at the end of the day. That is our selection program. But if he fits us, definitely we will look at him.
It reminds me of an interesting saying, and there's a book by this name as well, I think. It's not how good you are, it's how good you want to be that counts.
Exactly. And if you know your weaknesses, you could go back and work on your weaknesses and then come back again, and we will look at the person himself. And if he's changed, yes, we would definitely look at the person.
Well, Suhail, thank you so much for taking the time. I mean, I think we've really touched some people today on the show, and I couldn't do it without you. And thanks so much for your support and coming out, and hopefully we can have you on the show again sometime soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was Suhail Bintaraf. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Tenfif, and he is accessible. You can reach him on LinkedIn or on various other means. You can even try to get him on an open day. Just make sure you look good in a penguin suit when you reach out. I'm just joking. It's Tenfif, an interesting company to watch. That's the end of this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, hoping the rest of your life is the best of your life.